Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
So, hey, we've been talking about this thing called a paradox for a little while. This seemingly absurd things we see in Scripture. They're seemingly absurd until you dive into it and you find out that it's true. So in case you don't know what a paradox is, it's a seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement or proposition that when investigated or explained may prove to be well-founded or true. See, here's the thing, is that we take all these spiritual concepts, these ideas, and we like to put them in some kind of religious structure. We like to put it in something we can understand, right? We don't like, when we hear a phrase, for example, like, you're as holy as God is, like Alan was saying, you have to be holy to be able to be in relationship with God. We may understand that theologically, but there's a part of us that still says, no, it can't be. It just can't be true. It's a paradox. So Paul says, look, in Ephesians 1:18, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be opened. I pray that you wouldn't see God through these eyes or through these senses or these understandings, if you will, but that you would instead see him through the eyes of your heart. And then when you do that, what you see are three different things. You see hope. You see a hope of your calling. You see where God stores his inheritance, which is in you and me, and how powerfully he is holding on to us and holding on to that which is holding on to his inheritance, right? So he's holding on to us, if you will. And so Paul says, if you see these things, you'll see a couple other things too. You'll see, as we looked at in the first part of the series, we talked about how we're seated with him. I don't know about you, but in any given day, it's just incredible to reflect upon that the Father sat Jesus at his right hand. He sat him down. He said, son, here you go. Pull the chair back. This is where I want you, right next to me. He's seated. And then the incredible part is that God saw it fit to take us and say, okay, I'm going to find you guys a spot. I'm going to put you in Christ so you can be right next to me as well. So we are seated. So he is seated and we are seated, which reveals to us what a real Sabbath rest is, right? We talked about that. It shows us what the real Sabbath is. The Sabbath is not a day of the week. No, it's as David said, he said it's today, it's every day. It's eternity. It's living with him. It's true salvation, which is resting from your works. So Jesus became our Sabbath rest. Now, this is a paradox. Our minds don't want to believe that. It's hard to see in some ways. So we talked about last week how Jesus walked in the flesh so you and I could walk in the Spirit. There are these two different paradigms or dynamics, if you will, two different natures. There is the Adamic nature, and then we looked at the divine nature, and you're either in one or the other. There's no middle ground. There's not a limbo, if you will, where you're figuring it out. We also looked at last week, there's not a thing called a sin nature, okay? So that's a term that we've all heard probably at some point in our lives, and it's a misrepresentation of a word in Scripture that really is flesh. So we looked at these things last week. You're either in the flesh or in the Adamic nature, or you're in the divine nature, where you have his life living within your mortal bodies. That's a paradox. It's hard for us to understand that our life as a believer is not coming from a heartbeat or air in our lungs, but it actually is coming from being a spirit being living within an earthen vessel. So that is you and me. That is us every single day as we walk around. We're spiritual beings. I don't know if you often see yourself that way, right? I'm not like everybody else. You're truly unique. You are a spirit being. So we get to walk in something called this new and living way. Now, Paul said it this way. He says, look, I put no confidence in my flesh. Is that how you feel? You know, that's how I feel as well. Any of us who are believers can easily say, I put no confidence in this thing called the flesh. Now the flesh being, we talked about this last week, it's kind of a mixture between the body and the soul, if you will. It's this entity that says, my effort is what matters, okay? That's what the flesh is, and so we're not a part of that anymore. But Paul once was, and so Paul said this, and he says, if anybody has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. I was circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, oh my goodness, I taught that stuff. I was a Pharisee. As to zeal, I was a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, which is of the law, I was found blameless. right? He says, look, if there's anybody who has a mind to, and that's going to be our big kind of thought for this morning, if you will, kind of pun intended, I guess, is about our minds. And so this thing he says is, he goes, look, if anybody had the mind to put it on the flesh or what the flesh was able to do, it was me. Oh my gosh, his spiritual punch card was incredible. I mean, he's like, I did it all. I was a Pharisee. I persecuted the infidel. You know, I did all of the things that you were supposed to do. And yet he says it all amounted to nothing because it wasn't through faith. It was all through my effort. It was all through his striving. And how many of us, how many believers have a spiritual punch card similar to Paul's that we rest in that instead of resting in what he's done for us? Right, we say things like, God is pleased with me because, and then we put a blank. We fill that blank in with all kinds of things, right? Well, God's pleased with me. I went to the prayer meeting on this Tuesday, you know, check that off. Which, by the way, he will be. No, I'm just kidding. You should come, though. It's fun. No, but we put those kinds of things on our list, right? Our check boxes. Paul says, don't do that. That's not where we look. That's not where we look to see what kind of spirit life we have. So we talked about this last week, but you cannot be in the flesh anymore. It's been cut away from you. It's been circumcised from you. You can't be in the flesh anymore, but you can think after. You can put a mind, if you will, as he was just saying, after the flesh or after the old way of thinking, after the old patterns, if you will, of the mind. And we have to learn to walk and think after who we are. Otherwise, we will constantly think after somebody who we are not. Now, let me give you an example while at the same time maybe offending somebody here. So let's do this. There's a song that all of us here love. And if you go to Grace Church, I'm pretty sure you get the tattoo the moment you come in. And that's the song Amazing Grace, okay? This is a song that I know I'm not going to try to step on any toes. But there's a line in this song that I have never liked, okay? And I'll be honest, I never sing it. Even when we sing it here, I just don't sing it, okay? So judge me. And the word is this. The word is, amazing grace, you know, how sweet the sound, who saved a wretch like me, okay? Here's my problem, okay? Now, when I was a believer, when I was freshly saved, that is exactly how I felt, right? I looked at me, myself, I did exactly what Paul did in Romans chapter 7, and I looked through the law, and I saw, all I could see was wretch. I saw wretchedness. I saw that I'm a wretch. I'm gross, okay? But I can't sing that anymore, can I? I have a real hard time singing those words because, look, I'm not a wretch. And in fact, my Father has never seen me as a wretch. Now, I might have been wretched, okay, which I surely was, covered in all that lovely stuff called sin, but I'm not a wretch. No, I'm a child of God. And so this is just a small tweak. Now, look, you can disagree with me, by the way, and you can sing those words all you want. I don't care. But really, the point I'm trying to make is I believe there's an important distinction here, right? We often mix these fleshly ideas, and they sound so good. Oh, I'm a wretch. How spiritual is that, you know? It sounds good. Beat myself up, make God look better. But you got to remember the dynamic is not God and peon, right? It is Father and Son. I've never called my kid a wretch, and I never will. Anyway, I'm getting off on track on there. But anyway, you get the point. So the key here is that we can leave the Adams family, if you will. You can leave the Adamic nature behind, which the Adams family is a perfect picture of what we look like. And so we can leave that behind, and we can instead become these new creatures, these children of God, something absolutely brand new. It's a paradox. Listen to this. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one. Does that encompass everyone? Yeah, no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Oh my goodness. What are the old things of your life? What are the mistakes and the good things even? What are all the things? From back when you felt like you had to strive to please God, all of the old system, everything that was old is gone, and you're now a new creature. When are you new? Are you new today, and then tomorrow you're like one day old? No, you are always new. You are perpetually new. Every single day you are brand new. It's incredible. It is absolutely incredible, because this is what was promised all throughout history. The idea, the concept that streams would come from a desert, the prophet would say, that life could come from what seemingly is death. It's incredible what God has done. And so he gives us this mind that is renewed. It's renewed, and we can now think the same way God does. Did you know that? You're not a slave to your thoughts. You don't have to sit there and listen to every little thing that comes in your head and take it as absolute. That's the truth. No, it's the exact opposite. Instead, we renew our minds to what he says about us. And this is totally, totally different than what any of us were ever used to before Christ. Now, we see this through something called repentance, okay, which unfortunately has been taken over by the Latin understanding of the word, okay? This wasn't written in Latin, and yet that's what we use for the word repentance. We use a Latin understanding of this word, which typically means to pay penance or to feel sorry for our sin and to turn and to change our behavior, if you will. That's kind of the understanding. Well, as we understand, the true word repentance comes from this word metanoio, or I've heard it said metanoia. You could say metaorio if you want, and I think that's more fun. But metanoio, which means to think differently after. It doesn't mean to feel sorry and to get forgiveness for your sin. No, it means repentance. True repentance means to change the inner self after being with. The idea being is after you're with God, you're utterly changed from the inside out. Everything's totally brand new. Repentance is not just changing an idea. No, it's changing the entire dynamic. It's changing everything. It's something becoming brand new is what this kind of looks like. So Paul says it this way. He goes, look, it's this idea is renewing the mind. It's renewing your thought process, if you will. And he says that it's not just thinking, for example, new things or new ideas or getting a new list of things to not do and to do these things. It's not just that. No, it's getting an entirely new way to think. It's not just getting new things, but new ways, if you will. So I want to give you three new ways we can, or three new things that we can see, okay, through repentance or thinking differently. So here's your first one this morning. We can think differently or repent about how we see. We've got to totally change our idea about what we're looking for and how we see. Again, we can do this because we have Christ's perfect obedience. He obeyed the Father perfectly. He kept the law to its fullness. He completed it and placed it within us. And so we can now see the ways of God. We can see him. We can see all kinds of new things because we've been born again or made new. That word new, by the way, means never before seen. Not just something kind of refashioned into something else. No, all the parts were different. Everything was brand stinking new. It was amazing what God did. And so what do we see in Christ? What is this new way of seeing? What does it look like? Well, y'all remember Thomas. Thomas, our friend Doubting Thomas, he had a hard time with this, right? Thomas said, I don't want a new way to see God. I want to see him right now. I want to see Jesus. Is he really raised from the dead? I want to see him. I want to feel him. I want to see the holes in his hands. I want to know. I want to use the sensory elements of this world. In other words, Thomas needed to repent. He needed to change the way he was seeing and thinking. He couldn't help himself. He just wanted to see it in the flesh, if you will. And so you remember what happened. Jesus not only gave him what he wanted, but he upped the ante and he walked straight through a wall. I don't know about you guys, but if Jesus walks through that wall, this sermon is over, okay? Like there is something incredible that is superseding everything I'm doing, okay? And in this moment, that's exactly what happened is Jesus kind of just comes walking through the wall and he's like, oh, hey, Thomas, I heard you wanted to talk, you know? And Thomas is looking at him and you know he's saying that's impossible. Like, that is impossible, man. And so Jesus is like, yeah, here, use your touch, you know, touch, see, I'm real. This is real. Thomas, you've got to repent. You've got to change the way you look at God and see God and understand God. You've got to totally think differently. This is a whole new thing. And that's what you and I believe in. We believe in people who walk through walls. Like, that's the kind of stuff that we have living within us. It's a whole different paradigm. So we're learning how to walk. We're learning how to see differently. Check this out, Ephesians 4. Paul says this. He goes, so I affirm together with the Lord. So by the way, there's an important key. Right? This is something that God has already spoken inside of you and said to you. Paul's saying, I'm affirming this together, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened by their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. All right, we often will read that, and what often is spoken and said is, don't be like those Gentiles who didn't keep the law. Like they don't acknowledge the ways of God. That's not what I believe Paul is saying at all here. I believe what Paul was saying are found in the words he uses. He says things like this. He says, look, they had a futility of their mind. Their mind was futile in the way that it processed and thought. They couldn't see God. Why? Well, he says they gave themselves over to the sensory elements of this world. They operated by the senses. Don't be like the Gentiles who have no clue who God is. They have no way of knowing because all they look for is what they can see and touch and understand with their own mindset. Look, you can be of any race or nationality or upbringing. You can be a part of anywhere on this earth and live according to the old way. Or you can learn this new way, which Paul says, you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have what? Heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you do what? You lay aside the old self. It's being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Man, don't walk in the old way anymore. Don't give people what's fair. You know, I see sometimes posts on Facebook and things where it's like, well, that person deserved that. We don't live that way. We don't live by what anybody deserves or anything. This is all a part of the old way. We're living in an entirely new dynamic where we can see things that we couldn't see before. We can operate in ways that we didn't see before. And we operate primarily by hearing, by listening. How often do you just listen to God? God, I'm not here to say a word to you. I'm just here to listen. Share with me something about today. See, Paul said, here's the thing. The Gentiles, they were getting this before anybody else. And the reason why, Paul says, is because they heard. And I want to present to you kind of a dynamic that we're going to talk about more at the end of this. And that is this concept of hearing, believing, and seeing, or hearing and doing and then showing the world. There's this dynamic of hearing for us as believers where we then do to then see. Like this is our dynamic. The way that this world works, just as a point of comparison, is we see and then we do to show, right, or to hear. So, for example, in just a few minutes, I'm going to play a little guitar for you, and you're going to see how bad I am. But we're going to demonstrate this concept, right, of seeing, doing, and hearing versus the way the kingdom works, which is hearing, doing, and seeing. Okay, so for us, the dynamic or the way to see is to hear from God instead of seeing what we think we know. Now, so Paul says a couple of ways. He gives us a couple of different ways to understand this dynamic. And he says the first one is putting Christ on. Okay, now I want to be careful to differentiate. If you're a believer, you don't have to put Christ on in the sense of I have now stepped out of Christ and I'm back in the flesh again. Okay, believers make a mistake, I believe, when you say, oh, I'm in the flesh. You're never in the flesh. It's been cut away from you. It's been removed from you. But there is this dynamic of putting on Christ, and I want to explain it to you. This word put on comes from the word enduo, and it means to sink into a garment. It means to sink into a garment. Fellas, you know what this is like. You put a coat on, and it's like at first it's not quite right, and then you kind of get it there, and it's like, oh, man, I feel good. Ladies, I'm sure there's some version of this for y'all involved in, like, the shifting of the I don't know. I'm not a girl. I don't know how this works, but there's something where I see y'all shift, okay? I don't know. I don't know how that works. But you get it, right? It's sinking into your garment. It's like, hey, I'm already in it. I have it, but now it's just kind of like, I just need to get this thing kind of figured out. Okay, I got it, you know? So Paul says, look, put on Christ. This is new way of doing things looks like this, is that you can put Christ on. You can sink into your garment. You can fit it, and you can see what's on you. You can see what you're in. It's an incredible existence. And he gives us another way to understand this. He goes, look, another way of understanding this would be to put the mind on it, a mindset on. So he says this phrase, the mindset on, and it comes from this word. It comes from this word, phronema. And it means the inner perspective that influences outward results. Okay, everybody gets this because tomorrow is Monday morning. And for some of you guys, you're going to head to the gym, okay? And this is the phronema, is the part of you that says, I don't want to, you know? I don't want to go do blank, right? And as I have discovered from trainer friends of mine, the phronema, or your inner mindset, is the key, right? If you come into working out thinking, man, I don't want to do this at all, right? Right? It's going to be a miserable experience. But as the trainer who sat next to me, as I was huffing and puffing and sweating and just dying, and she just kept saying to me, she goes, just think about those gains. Just think about those gains. And if you don't know what that means, it just means like the muscles, you know? And so I'm like, yeah, the gains, you know? And so my mindset, my phronema had to change, right? And it needs to change every time I work out. We're going to get there. But we got to change the way we see. Not just what we see, but how we see, because this inner man is totally new. Galatians 5:16 says this, but I say walk by the Spirit, or walk after is what this means, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. In other words, sink into this new existence. It's not about a list of rules and regulations. No, it's about a relationship with God. There's going to be a little bit of a sinking into, or feeling, or figuring this thing out with him. So we've put on Christ. If you're a believer, you have become a new creation, and now we are learning how to walk. Look, when you think about this paradox, it's crazy, right? You have a headache. You need somebody to, you need to pray for healing. You head over to the exchange, which, by the way, I'm super excited about. Come early. If you got a prayer need or whatever, don't wait to the end of service. Let's go pray together. And I love this idea that we can go to God and say, hey, I've got a physical ailment in my body. And so he brings healing from the inside out. He goes, okay, I've already given you healing. Let me manifest it through your body. This is the incredible existence that you and I have. That grace and peace is being multiplied to us as we observe and just look at him and focus on him. Behold him, right? And everything changes. Look, an unbeliever's life, simply put, an unbeliever's life is focused on what they do, right? It's all about what you did with your life, you know? In fact, we take that fleshly thought and we move it into the spirit realm. We believe we're going to be before God, and he's going to put your whole life on the movie screen, right? He's going to show you what you did, right? To an unbeliever, this is our focus. It's what did I do? But a believer's focus is not on what we do, but on who we are. That is who, that's what we focus on. That's what we see, is I'm a child of God. I'm not just learning new ideas, but I'm changing the way that I know God. I know him by faith, him speaking to me instead of the sensory elements that deceive me and are corrupted. And I can understand God through Jesus. Number two, you can think differently or repent about how you see God. He causes us to see him differently. It causes us a mind renewed. You relate to him totally different. You don't relate to him through law. You relate to him through love. You relate to him through relationship. You find where he says, I don't care about your sacrifices. Oh man, we love making sacrifices. Believers love giving sacrifices of every type, of praise, for example. What does that even mean? Right? He loves obedience. He loves relationship. This is what he craves. So look at what Colossians 3 says. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So important to recognize, if you're a believer, you're not laying aside the old self. No, it's been laid aside, and you have put on the new self. You're not waiting to put Christ on in that way. No, you already are that way. You are sinking into this garment, if you will. But Peter says this. He goes, look, true knowledge. You want to know what true knowledge is? True knowledge is Jesus. So not only do we have this new way to see, we have to understand it's not new concepts, but a new way. In the same way, we have a new way to see God, a totally new way to see him. And it's interesting to me is that Jesus gave us this. He said, look, I'm gonna demonstrate to you how to see God. I think it's funny that many of us picture God as Moses, right? An old Moses sitting up on a chair. He's massive, though. Like, Moses is, like, grown exponentially, and he's got the gray Gandalf hair, and he's, like, sitting there, you know? Like, that's what we kind of picture some, at least I do. Maybe you don't at all. I'm projecting that onto you. But I feel like in our culture, we commonly see God painted that way, right? And Jesus says, no, God's nothing like Moses, actually. No, he goes, he's actually like a loving father. You want to know what God's like? No, he's not big, scary lawgiver up in the clouds. No, he is a loving father who sent his own son because you were worth that to him. That's the picture that you and I get. It's a whole different way. How do you see God? How do you see him? Not in what format do you frame him in, but how do you actually see God? Jesus says you see God through seeing him in you. Through seeing the Father, what he did, you can just look inward. You can look into the spirit man and go, oh, I see Jesus. I see what he did for me. I see his love for me. I see all the provision he's made for me. Therefore, I know God. And the more that you reflect on that, the more you reflect on his life in you, the more you will see. Sink into this new life. It's a life of rest. Lastly, think differently or repent about how you see yourself. Boy, this is a big one. How do you see yourself? How do you picture yourself as it pertains to your spiritual walk or God? Or how do you see yourself? All right, you don't look at yourself after the flesh. This is good news. 2 Corinthians, we read this already, 5:16. We recognize no one according to the flesh. Look, the good news this morning is, you have a whole brand new set of eyes. You have a whole brand new set of eyes, and you can look at everything different. Look, we don't look at anybody after the flesh anymore. I don't look at an unbeliever after their flesh. I don't look at anyone after the flesh anymore, but only after the Spirit. Look, if you see things that way and you see an unbeliever, what's the first thing you think? Is it like, oh my gosh, look at all their sin? No. No, it's this person needs Jesus. This person needs life, just as I did. It's not judgment. It's just, hey, let me offer you something I've got. Right? And if you look at a believer, we don't look at believers after the flesh. Look, we should have no issues when someone confesses their sin. There should be no shock. Can I be honest just a little bit this morning? There should be no, oh my gosh, this person sinned. That shouldn't be a shock to us either. Because we don't recognize people after what's been cut away from us. Look, the old eyes that we used to have, they used to look through the lens of the law. And if you do that, can I tell you that you will see a mess everywhere. You will be the kind of Christian that worries like crazy because you will see all of the stuff in the world and think, oh my gosh, look at all of this stuff that's just going haywire. You'll see things through that kind of lens. But the new eyes that we have are eyes of love. We look after love to the entire world, and it changes the dynamic of everything. Look, I say this with love, but the church really should be the safest place in the entire world to make a mistake. The church should be the greatest place in the entire world to confess, man, I totally blew it. I totally messed up. And here's the thing, is that many of us in this room can say very quickly and very easily, amen to that. I wish the church was more like that. But can I tell you what the problem is? Is that all of us are the problem. So before you raise your hand and amen, just know that we're all part of this problem. And it's because our minds are being renewed to how things actually work in this new realm. We're being changed ourselves in this way, if you will. Our thinking is changing, and it has to change. Look, Jesus' behavior did not define his perfection, but who he was defined his behavior. It's an incredibly different dynamic than what we're used to. Jesus was tempted in every single way, and yet he lived by faith, and we get that same ability. Check this out in Romans 12, 1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies. That's not your flesh, the sarx, if you will, as we've been talking about, but your actual body as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. This is your spiritual service of worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That word conformed means to fashion oneself. So don't be conformed to anything, really. Don't do anything where you fashion yourself or make yourself, if you will, right? Don't fashion yourself after the spiritual person that sits next to you and they're just the most godly human you've ever met. Don't fashion yourself after them. Don't be conformed to them. Don't be conformed to the law. Don't be conformed through this understanding to the paradigm of this world. But he says instead to be transformed. Being transformed is something that happens to you. You didn't have a part. You didn't fashion yourself. No, to be transformed means to change after being with. Again, it's that idea of renewal. It's that idea of being reborn. It's being with God, and it transformed you. It changed you. Don't conform. Be transformed. Paul says it this way. I'll read this in the Passion Translation. It says this. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. Be imitators of God in everything you do, and then you will represent your Father as beloved sons and daughters. Continue to walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ. And there it is. For he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us was pleasing to God like an aroma of adoration, a sweet, healing fragrance. Do you know that you walk with God, which is a sweet fragrance. Here's the key. Continue to walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ. Let me ask you something. Do you ever have a hard time surrendering to the extravagant love of Christ? You don't have to. He loves you so much. This is what our dynamic looks like. I want to give you an example this morning. I'm gonna play a little guitar for you if you don't mind. Get me all wired up. Don't applaud. You have no idea how bad this is going to be. Am I all turned on? Can you hear me? I feel like Garth Brooks up here, okay? I'm not Garth Brooks. I got a very disapproving laugh. I was still using that, but... Oh. All right. When I was 15, okay, I learned how to play guitar, if you will. All right? So today's we're talking about learning a whole new way, right? A whole walking in the Spirit is this whole entirely new experience, right? So for me, learning how to play guitar was this entirely new experience. Thanks. That's good. This is good. Just get destroyed. Can you? Okay. That's fine. And so when I was 15, I gotta fix that thing. It's a leaning tower of something. It's hard to find good help, am I right? It's just about a... Oh, I'm kidding. Gabby's incredible. She knows I'm kidding. Anyway, when I was 15, I learned how to play guitar. And what that meant was that I put my guitar in front of my amp and I had it feed back as loud as possible, okay? That was how I learned how to play guitar, which is... You know, and you may not know this, there are all different types of feedbacks. Like, there's cool stuff, there's like oscillating sounds. Anyway, I love feedback. So I thought this was great. I'm learning how to play guitar. My dad finally whipped the door open and he goes, okay, it had been like 4 hours of this, you know. He goes, Javen, you've got to learn a song. He's like, you can't keep doing this. Like, you've got to learn how to play a guitar, you know. And so I'm like, okay, fine. And so I went to my friend's house, and maybe you learned kind of like this too. It's the whole see and do and hear kind of idea, right? Which, by the way, I'm borrowing this morning or stealing it from Bob Hamp. I saw him do this guitar thing, and I thought I resonated so much with it because I play music too. But if you don't know who Bob Hamp is, by the way, I got to plug him. Go check out his stuff online, TD Counseling, Think Differently Counseling. So he's awesome. But he was talking about this, and I really resonated with it. And the idea is that I started watching how somebody else played, right? So I watched my friends. And then there was this band called the Smashing Pumpkins that was out at the time. And I learned, oh, if you guys have heard of them. And I learned this song called Disarm because it was super simple. It was like four chords, you know. And I'm like, and so I'm watching and I'm like, okay, I'm getting it. My hand needs to go like this. Now, can I tell you, it sounded like garbage, okay? It was awful. You know, you're hitting all the wrong notes and like nothing sounds right at all. And this is kind of the way it is. If I were to use this as kind of an example for those of us when we first believe, right? We understand the elementary principles of this world, right? We come into it understanding like, oh, there's things called chords. There's structure. There's things that sound good. Like, for example, if I do this, like, does that sound good? Who taught you that? Are y'all all guitarists? No, right? But we have these things that are built inside of us, these structures, if you will. And so I learned that these chords sound good together, and they actually make a song, and suddenly I learned this way. All right, so the system of this world is show me, let me see it, okay? And then I will do it, and then I'll hear what it sounds like. That's what we like. We like to come to church where somebody shows us what do we do, and then I'm going to go do it, and then it's going to sound good because the pastor said so, right? Like this is the system of this world. Show me, I'll do it, and then we'll hear it. All right, but here's the thing, is that the system of his kingdom isn't like that at all. We really have to think totally differently, and it goes like this. In his kingdom, we hear, then we do, and then we show the world, right? So what's seen comes after what is heard. Now let me put this back in a musical context. So I went from playing these songs where I had to like watch someone play and I would learn the notes and all that, and to where all of a sudden one day I started just getting bored with that. Now if you're like me, I'm too random to put me in a structure, to put me in some kind of a format. And so after a while I was like, yeah, Disarm, Smashing Pumpkins, who are they anyway? Like I'm gonna write my own song. And so I began writing my own music, and suddenly I discovered what is called music, okay? Music is actually not, in my opinion, chords and structures and all of that kind of stuff. No, it's something that's actually born from the inside. Now, I play with a friend named JJ, and him and I, we get together and we start playing, and can I tell you how incredible this experience is? We've left the elementary elements of this world, if you will, or the elementary, that makes it sound like we're having the most epic jam ever, by the way. But we leave just the understandings of how things work, and we go to a point to where he'll sit there on those drums, and I'll sit right here, and we won't even look at each other, and we can play for hours. And we won't know any chords that we're playing. We won't have anything predefined. We just start playing. It just comes from within. I play what I hear, right? So nobody's charting it out for me. And as we're sitting there playing together, I just literally will play what I'm feeling coming out from within. And can I tell you, sometimes it is the most cathartic experience. It's incredible, right? It's therapeutic, right? As I play something from within. All right, the point of all of this is simply this, is that as believers, we're not just learning chords. We're not just learning the principles of this world or how this world works. Guys, we're making music together. And we're making music by playing the song that we're hearing play within us. God did something incredible. He didn't put sheet music in front of us to copy. He didn't put another Ten Commandments in front of us to follow. No, he put music inside of us to come out in the most beautiful ways and expressions of love. It's phenomenal the way he did this. So this morning, I thought maybe we could do this a little bit together. This is not scripted, really. But I wondered if we could just close our eyes for a moment and just talk to God in a way that's totally different than what we're used to. Forget the words on the screen just for a moment. Lord, we love you so much. Lord, we love this song that you've got in our hearts. This whole different way of living. Lord, you're so incredible this morning. And we worship you. We think about your greatness. We think about how incredible you are. The ways that you love us, the way that you've gone before us, the way that you've taken care of us. And we worship you this morning. It's not just new ways, God, or new thoughts, excuse me, but Lord, new ways. We're listening to the song that you've placed inside of all of our hearts. Lord, I pray for every person in this room that they would see differently, that they would see you differently, and they would see themselves differently after the Spirit that you've placed within us.